Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit, and he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Why indeed? Dear brothers and sisters, today Stephanie and I and God himself are giving you a new teacher. Somebody who in her earlier days used that word many times. Why? 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 We were used to that because her older sister had already used that word and trained us many times. Why? 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 It drives you nuts sometimes because they want to know the answers to questions that you can't exactly phrase. Sometimes you know the answer, but you know it as somebody who graduated high school or college science, and the refraction of light doesn't tell them really why the sky is blue because they don't understand the physics behind it. Sometimes it's questions that you can't answer at all because you're clueless on them. When you get older then, and people start asking why, children, you remember this and know this now from your parents. Why is an accusatory word? Why did you do that? And it doesn't matter whether it's elder to younger or boss to worker or peer to peer, husband to wife or wife to husband. Why sometimes gets our hackles up? Why implies sometimes that we are in the wrong, and we don't like that, do we? I don't want to be in the wrong. So why does Jesus say why to his disciples? It's because they're still disbelieving. It's because the Spirit has not finished the work that the Spirit does, that of not only bringing faith in Jesus, but making it an essential part of your heart, of connecting those dots that Jesus had been working through. And so today, he tells them again who he is, what he has done, and he opens their minds to understand all of the Scriptures, as he says here in John, the prophets and the Psalms, as well as the law of Moses. Their entire Bible to that point was pointing to him. And still, they are troubled. Just like some of you are today, and like all of you have been, if not in this past few days and over the past few weeks or months or years. Sickness, suffering, death, loss. The anxiety of starting a new job, the anxiety of sending your child off to that wicked big city. Why are your hearts troubled? Since she's also sitting there, maybe troubled over your son in school or your upcoming exams that you're taking as you finish school. Or I have a brother here who gets people asking him all sorts of questions about what they're going to do when they retire and what's going to happen with their money and their lives then. We have all these questions. We can answer some, we can't answer all of them, but the one important question, why are we here then, is met with Jesus. Why are you worried about it? What's your problem? And this isn't a don't worry, be happy, but this is rather a filled with joy in the midst of problems. This is, I've got troubles. They're piled up to here. But still my heart rejoices because my Jesus lives, and in Jesus I live also. Moses talks about it. David talks about it. Isaiah talks about it. There's songs throughout the Old Testament and the New that get us to rejoice in this. But yet, the law still gets each one of us. Why are your hearts troubled? What is your problem? Why are you troubled? The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who drowned the wicked world and yet raised up the believers on the ark, who opened the sea and let Israel pass on dry feet and then collapsed it on their wicked enemies. That same God who knocked down the walls of Jericho, that same God who gave Israel into the hands of his people as he had promised. That same God who sent Christ Jesus into the world in human flesh to suffer and die for you still loves you. He has drowned your Egyptians in the waters of baptism. He has raised you up and floated you in his ark, that big boat, the church. And you don't have to grab the rudder. You don't have to have a map, because he is the captain. He is the pilot. He is the architect. He is the redeemer. He is the savior. You're the passenger. You're the recipient. You are the one who receives the gifts. You don't have to figure out a present for Jesus. You don't have to figure out a plan of action. Of course, these are the things of faith. Yeah, you still need to figure out vocation. You still need to figure out what you're going to do with those first article gifts of house, home, wife, children, fields, cattle, or whatever it is you have. God puts multiple things into your refrigerator, even if you worked for them and went out and bought them, and you can choose among them. But that really doesn't matter. Those are minor decisions. The main decision has been made. God sent his son to die for you, and you live in him. And so the law of this question challenges you. What's your problem believing and accepting this? Do you need Jesus to stroll in here and munch a piece of fish to tell you that he is truly alive? He's given you so much more. He's going to again give you himself, body and blood, just as he is already giving you himself in word. You've plunged back into the font in confession and risen, as the scriptures say, as Luther reminds us, a new creature, alive and vibrant. The old song, pack up your troubles in the old kit bag and smile, brother, smile. Well, sometimes you don't have a bag big enough to pack up your troubles. But that's okay. Because your troubles were all dumped on Jesus when he went in for his baptism and said, lay it on me. He accepted your plight as a sinner and took your sins. He accepted your sickness, your suffering, and your shame as much as your sins and said, they're mine. I want them. And the Father said, sure, take them. Take them up and down Palestine. Take them into Galilee. Take them across Samaria. Take them on that last long walk up to Jerusalem so everybody could say, yay, Jesus! Before they turn around and say, kill him. And here, let's load the weight of the cross on top of that. As if just your sins, your troubles, your worries, your doubts, your confusions aren't enough. That person sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you, that weight is on him. The weight of people already born and died, the weight of people still to be born until this world ends, piled on Jesus, along with the weight of the cross, along with the blood loss, along with the anxiety and the no sleep and all of those other problems. All of your troubles belong to him. And he condemned them and put them to death and says that you are free. His gift. No charge. The bill is settled. And then he comes to you in grace and says, why are you troubled? Now, I'm not here to accuse you. I'm here to forgive you. He comes to you and reminds you that this is all taken care of. Gently. How many times have you packed up your troubles, knelt, sat, stood, whatever, in prayer, and said, here, God, here they are. And then you can't let go. You've got that grip. And he may be pulling on you right now. Come on, let me have that, please. Sometimes he has to take it thumb and finger by finger to get you to release that last little bit. Because they aren't your troubles anymore. He claimed them. He's saying, what is the problem now? Why is your heart troubled? Why are you worrying? Why are you hanging on to this? I got it. I've had it. I've had it since you were baptized. I've had it since you were born. I've had it since you were conceived. I've had it since I died on the cross. I've had it since before the world was framed. These are not your troubles. They're mine. And because they're mine, they are gone. Just as your sin is removed, as far as the east is from the west, so is the consequence of sin. Our feelings and our worries and our confusions and our doubts, our emotional state clouds the clear objective fact. And Jesus cuts through that. That's why the fish, as well as Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, to convince you categorically and completely. You don't have to hope that you're saved. You don't have to wish your problems and your troubles away. You don't have to think maybe God loves me enough. He tells you, he shows you, he shows you, and he tells you, and he does that again today. Proof positive, children. See the holes, see the fish, see me. I'm alive, you're alive. I took your sins to my cross, and now I give you my cross as your burden through this life. Let it steady you. Let it hold you down. Let it ground you. But let it also then be that reminder that whatever troubles you will pass. Your sins are already put to death. No other death really matters. Your troubles already troubled me as I knelt in the garden. And I took care of them. So why are you troubled? Again, as you have confessed, as you have heard, all of your sins forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you are free indeed. And nothing can separate you now from this love of God in Christ Jesus. It is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, including now, today, at Memorial Houston. He should suffer. He had to suffer because his Father set that up, constructing a beautiful world that he knew would fall apart. The plan was already in place, and God already knew that you would be one of the redeemed, one of the saved, one of the righteous, one of the ones for whom his Son would suffer and die, one of the ones whose troubles belong to him, and who instead gives you the freedom, the release, the grace, and the peace that surpass understanding. The promise of the Father is upon you as it was the disciples. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. God grant that your troubles, that drowned like the Egyptians in the Red Sea, like those rebellious people at the time of Noah, that drowned for you in the font, would continue to be drowned and die, along with all sin and evil desire. And again, daily, hourly, minute by minute, that new, beautiful, glorious, forgiven, at peace creature, arise and live before God. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.